I'm JB Gill. I'm the first ever dad host of the Netmums podcast. And it's very, my pleasure really to be here today alongside Louise Burke. Louise?
Excited. We have got a brilliant guest for you today. I can see her up there, Laura Adlington. She is going to talk us through, it's going to be quite a powerful conversation, I think, today, but also a fun one, hopefully. She's going to talk to us about her trying to conceive journey, her pregnancy journey, and then the arrival of her little baby George as well at the end of last year. So I'm expecting a really honest, nonetheless, really honest and brave and funny chat today.
Yes, indeed. Now, Laura's, Louise has mentioned, has been very open about some of the conversations that all of us as parents have. She had a very, very long journey to receiving that miracle. And I think she's most open about some of the things that we don't talk about, like the identity shift, which is just as applicable to mums as it is to dads. And to be honest, everybody in the family, especially if it's your first child or your grandchild. And so it's going to be really great to hear from her about that identity shift, the physical, mental, emotional changes that we all go through, and the sort of what now feeling.
Absolutely. We're going to be asking Laura, when you spent 9 years trying to become a mum, what happens when you actually become a mum? I think she's got a lot to say about it.
Yes. So without further ado, please welcome Laura Adlington.
Hello, Laura.
Hi.
Hey, Laura.
Welcome to the baby show and the Net Mums podcast.
Thanks for having me. I've waxed my tash and shaved my legs. This is the first time I've been out since the baby. I'm very excited.
Mum is out.
Yes.
She has left the house. And you look absolutely gorgeous as well.
Thank you.
Now, Laura, we want to start talking to you. We're going to kick off about your journey to motherhood. It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
9 years. You've also described the IVF journey in the latter part of those years to have been quite a long, lonely road for you. You've spoke of grief, trying again, and then finally joy. How did it feel when baby Joy finally arrived in your life at the end of last year?
I think taking that positive pregnancy test was honestly the happiest day of my life. Like people say it was like the day, you know, your baby's born, but I think I was just overwhelming. But taking that test, it just didn't feel real. I was just so happy because, as you say, I think it was such a long road to get to him. And I think not enough people really talk about the kind of the grief and the loneliness and the isolation that comes with infertility or, you know, like having a baby after loss. And I think, it was just absolutely magical. I think it still doesn't feel real even now he's here. But I mean, in that moment, I was like, oh my God, like there's two positive lines. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not just necessarily the arrival of the baby itself, but it's that when you do that pregnancy test and you see it there, that blue line, and you know it's real.
Yeah.
Life's about to change in a big way.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I was going to ask, just tell us about the early days. Was it a moment of you saying, yes, I've finally done it, I've made it? Or did it shift straight away once George is born into something different? And for your partner, Matt, as well.
I think we definitely found it really hard, and it is hard, and it's absolutely wonderful in so many ways. It's magical. It's all the things people say it is, and your heart doubles in size. All the cliches really are true, but it is really hard. And I think we both struggle, if I'm honest. And I think I remember a couple of weeks in, we were bickering, and I think Matt, you know, was very open and vulnerable with me and said, I'm struggling here. Like, I miss our old life a bit. Like, the sleep deprivation, I think no one really talks about. And obviously, I don't want to put anyone off because it like we were just saying by stage, it gets better and better. It really does. But no, it was like, no one prepares you for bringing that baby home.
True.
And I remember saying to Matt, when do the grown-ups arrive? I do not feel like absolutely at all like prepared or capable of looking after this tiny little thing. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say that brings me to my next question, because obviously there's the dream of motherhood, parenthood, starting a family, and then there's reality as well. Mm. And you document a lot of that in your Instagram. When you've wanted something for so long, and you have talked about, you've been very open about that, do you feel guilty for finding it hard Or do you feel bad for saying, oh, I'm really struggling or I'm feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah, I think anyone that's kind of like had a baby that's waited a really long time for it, or like I said, it had a, you know, baby after loss, you feel like you should enjoy and appreciate every moment. And that honestly, that's just not possible. And I think I found that a real struggle. And it's only really now that I'm kind of being kind to myself and saying that the two things can be true. I can be extremely grateful and I can also say that this is difficult. Yeah. And the two things can, so it can coincide. You know, we do have bad days where he's screaming or like, I can't settle him and he's not happy. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm a rubbish mum. This is too hard. I can't do this, but that doesn't mean that I'm not grateful. So, but I do think the pressure of that, like when you've had IVF and you've struggled so long, the guilt does play with you, because also, you know, I know how lucky and how privileged we are.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to balance.
And you wouldn't change it for the world.
No, of course not. No, I love him so much. Like he's my whole world.
Yeah.
But it is hard.
Yeah.
I saw one of your posts the other day saying I'd rather lick the walls than sing another nursery rhyme. That was not one of your best days, but you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth sometimes, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think not enough people talk about like how hard it is for fear of sounding ungrateful.
Yeah.
But my aim with like being online and my Instagram and that since coming out of Bake Off was always to be honest and show like the ups and the downs and be real with people. And I think maybe if I'd have heard some of the things that I'd experienced, I wouldn't have felt less alone. Like intrusive thoughts, for example, really hard, being touched out. I never thought that I would, because I'm a real like touchy-feely person. But if you've been cluster feeding for 6 hours, you're like, get this baby away from me. It is hard. And I think, you know, the sleep deprivation, as I said, rowing with your partner. So many times I've literally looked at my husband and thought, why did I marry you? Yeah, I love him too. Yeah. Now. We like each other again. But in the early days, it was really, really hard, but not enough people talk about it.
So just talk us through some of those early moments. And even if you can, draw us a contrast between prior to the reality of having a baby and then post the reality of having a baby.
Yeah, I think, again, because we'd been on our own for such a long time, apart from our lovely dog Buddy, who we adore, we both established in our careers and our life and our routines. So again, it was like, can we be completely thrown in like a whirlwind? You're suddenly at home all the time and you do lose your autonomy and your freedom a bit. And as I mentioned, I think Matt struggled a bit with missing our old life, missing the holidays and things like that. I think we've always had a really solid relationship. Like we've always been, you know, like really good partnership, but it is hard. And I think that sometimes as well, like the mental load that you have as a mum is, I think, slightly different. Because you're thinking like, right, when's the next feed? And like you're not putting yourself first for once. When's the next bottle? When's the next nappy change? And I think I found that hard, and then resentment built a little bit. But I think talking to each other is obviously so important. And I think being really open before you have baby about who's going to do what. And the other thing that absolutely saved our marriage was tag team in the night shifts, because I'm like, before having a baby, I was like, I need 19 hours sleep or I'm grumpy kind of girl.
Yeah.
It was a big shock. Whereas Matt can survive on a bit less sleep than me. I was trying to do it all day, all night, breastfeeding. Like it was too much. And I was like, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah.
So we then tag teamed. Matt is still in the spare room now and George is nearly 5 months old. But again, I think people don't want to say that because maybe there's like stigma.
Yeah.
But for us, it works. So before he was sleeping a bit better, Matt would do the bit of chunk of the evening shift. I'd get some sleep.
Yeah.
Then I'd take over and then he'd get him early in the morning and do a couple of hours so I could get rest. That is the one thing that I know we're really lucky to be able to do that, but that is the one thing I think that really saved us.
Just listening to you talk like that reminds me of those evenings that finally, once when the baby was asleep, we'd sit there spending hours working out the plan for the next day. Who's waking up, when, who's taking the baby for a walk, when are we going to feed, you know. The plotting of some of that routine is like almost like on a military level, isn't it? I think it's different when you're bottle feeding and breastfeeding, because obviously when you're breastfeeding, all the onus is on you to instigate the feed, sit there and with the feeds. And like you say, you do sometimes feel a little bit touched out. On the flip side, I used to find those night feeds so comforting.
Same.
Like those cuddles where it was just me and the baby. And like, you know, it's true what they say, those real bonding moments.
Yeah. You can't get over that noise of them feeding, can you?
I actually miss it, like feeding during the night. I feel like that really bonded us. And I think, you know, what you were saying about as a dad, you can feel left out. And I think we do need to kind of, you know, give the dads more credit and have more honest conversations about that as well, because like about mental health for dads, because I'm sure Matt won't mind me saying that when George was born, about sort of 4 or 5 weeks in, he was saying that wasn't not bonded. Like, he felt a massive sense of protection, but he wasn't feeling that like instant connection and love and bond, because I think I was doing breastfeeding all the time.
Yeah.
And it really has come now, and they have the most incredible bond. I think him smiling and laughing has made such a difference. But it is, I think, harder, or can be harder for dads. But even I think for mums, like, I thought that when they kind of delivered the baby, I would feel this instant wave of love and connection. And I didn't. And I beat myself up about it for a really long time. But it does, it grows. But someone said to me, well, of course you don't like love them. It's, you don't know them yet.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, yeah, I'm being so hard on myself. So I, for anyone struggling with that, mum or dad, I would say, like, don't beat yourself up. Like, it does come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, there's the mental side of the struggle, but I just want to touch on the physical side of things, because every man in here would admit and will know that the changes that a woman goes through with her body when she has birth,
it's
facts, and it's an amazing thing. But of course, so many, like you say, so many women put pressure on themselves, and you are such an inspirational spokesperson, really, for body positivity and your changes. Just talk to us about how your body changed and how you felt about it in those moments.
Yeah, I think initially I remember thinking, oh, I feel like postpartum I'm supposed to hate my body. That's just the kind of the narrative. And actually I felt really good initially postpartum, I think, because I, like most women, when you're heavily pregnant, like, you're struggling, aren't you, because you're kind of waddling everywhere, you feel so heavy and lethargic. I felt brilliant, and I recovered really well after my C-section. I was very, very lucky. I felt all right, and then actually it was kind of as time went on. And I think everyone talks about, oh, the weight will fall off when you breastfeed, or, you know, you'll bounce back after 2 weeks. And I didn't. That wasn't my experience at all. In fact, it was the opposite. And I actually gained a lot of weight after having the baby, because I was literally in survival mode, living off of biscuits, crisps, like just snacks, because I didn't have time to cook. I didn't really want to cook. And I was just snacking. And so I think it did affect me more than I thought it would. I've done a lot of work over the years to become, like, to be at peace with my body, and kind of think, do you know what, the way I look is the least interesting thing about me. Like, I really like to lean into that whole body neutrality thing, which is, I have a body and so does everyone else. Like, you know, I've always been big. Maybe that's just how I'm meant to be. But I would be lying if I said I haven't struggled postpartum. Like, even this morning, I was like, what do I wear? Nothing fits. I hate how I look. I'm like, oh, it is still a struggle. Like, I'm just going to be really honest with you. I don't have it all together all the days, but I'm trying to, you know, be kind to myself.
Why do you think we're still in a culture where we're talking about bouncing back? I mean, it just feels so outdated and wrong and negative and unhelpful, but it still creeps into conversations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And even us women ourselves will talk about losing the baby weight. It's like we just can't get rid of that stigma around body.
I feel like it's like diet culture again, just trying to rearing its ugly head and like putting pressure on women that's unnecessary. You know, there's no way that, you know, you can bounce back after a baby. Like, your organs literally move. Your body has stretched and changed. And then after 2 weeks, you're supposed to fit in your jeans. Like, no, like, it's not going to happen. I love social media. I think I personally, like, I've found a wonderful community on there. But I do think that it can be quite unhelpful for women with the comparison. And I think that's probably what a lot of it is. You see a lot of new mums that kind of will be posting pictures of themselves, like Kendall Jenner, who's having a baby and being like, look at my washboard abs. I think she was 4 months postpartum, and she posted a picture of her in the gym saying, no days off. But she has the luxury of a nanny and a personal trainer and a night nurse and probably all of these things. So I think it's really, really hard when you see yourself and you compare yourself to other mums who have maybe bounced back. But I would say that to anyone that is sort of struggling with that isn't the norm. I would say 95% of women struggle and are not feeling themselves postpartum. And that is absolutely normal. And I think we need to kind of take a step back and realise that what our bodies have done and appreciate what they've done for us.
Yeah. Did it help? I suppose hearing Matt's thoughts on that, if that makes sense, because I was always very supportive of Chloe and just saying, listen, a lot has happened in the last, however, 9 months, 10 months, 12 months, you know, and so many changes have you know, undergone through your body. And I was never under, you know, putting her under pressure, like, come on, baby, you got to go do this, you got to do that, you got to get in the gym, whatever. Do you think, was Matt like that, firstly, but did that help how he was with you?
Yeah, I think like Matt's always been a massive support in terms of that. Like he knows as well just not to talk about it because I would absolutely ape at him. Also, like he was, you know, a really big lad before I met him, and you know, he struggled with his weight as well throughout his life. So I think he knows never to say anything. And yeah, he does his best, bless him. He's still, I think, learning what he sort of how to say and what you know, not to say. But I've never felt any pressure from him at all to look a certain way or that I like need to lose the baby state, which is, I think, yeah, I would say lucky, but surely that's like
as it should be.
Yeah.
And just hearing you talk then, I'm sat here thinking, isn't it mad that, you know, there are some women or new mums that would feel pressure to go to the gym rather than be with their baby and cuddle their baby. The priorities are just off to kilter, aren't they?
I mean, if the gym helps you mentally or even physically and you want to do that, I think
good time out.
Yeah, do whatever is right for you. But this, for me personally, I'm just, I mean, I can't think of anything worse than going to the gym anyway, but I just wanted to be at, you know, at home with George. And I do keep having to remind myself, like, this is a season. Like, like the priority now is him. And I just want to spend as much time with him as possible. And like, he doesn't care what I look like, does he? He cares that I'm there and that I'm giving him love and changing his bum and that.
Yeah. So I've got a question. If your body could talk to you after having a baby, what would it say?
I love this question.
I think it would say, give yourself a break. Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, you've done an amazing thing. Like, just be kind to yourself.
Absolutely.
So moving on to identity, because you talk a lot about that on all your social platforms, and it's super insightful, and I think it's really interesting and supportive to many, I'm sure. So you were Laura before any of your parenting journey. Yeah. You were Laura when you were trying for a baby and behind the scenes, you were still Laura. But now you're Laura the mum. How does Laura the mum feel? Stronger, more vulnerable, brave?
I think both.
All of it.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, all the cliches are true. Like, he is my whole world. Like, I love that little boy so much. I also feel like I do need my own time. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm going a bit stir crazy in the house. And I like, said to my other day, I need to go and get my nails done. Just a little act of self-care. Please can you just look after George. I need to go out of the house. So I'm still finding myself in that. And I still want to work. And I still feel like I'm, you know, ambitious and want to do work things, but also scale back a little bit. So my priorities have definitely shifted. I definitely don't think I've had like an identity crisis since having him. But it is hard to not have the mum hat on and to have the Laura hat on. But I think, you know, he's still very young.
Are they two different people?
No, I think I've always been very maternal. And I think I wanted him so much that he has sort of slotted in. It feels, he still doesn't feel real. Every night I say to Matt, like, is he here? Like, I can't believe how lucky we are. Like, he's here. Yeah. But it's starting, to feel a bit more real. I think I'm slowly combining the two.
Some mums will say when they've had a baby, they almost feel like a better person.
Yeah.
Whether that's more confident, stronger, more complete. So, but it's it doesn't happen overnight. That's what I'm going to say.
No, I don't. I think definitely more vulnerable. I cry all the time, like now, happy and sad tears. But I do. And all of my friends would say when they had babies, like, oh, there's no love like it. And I think because I struggled so much with infertility, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I've got a really full, happy life. That's not true. And I did have a full and happy life, but I do feel very complete now that he's here.
Yeah. I mean, this is a silly question because I know the answer already, but are there moments when you feel overwhelmed? And can you just talk to us about some of those moments, what that's like, what that looks like?
I feel overwhelmed on a daily basis. And I think, as I said earlier, like, I've always been very maternal. So I think I, not very naively, thought I'd be really good at it. And it is such a lesson in, it's very humbling when you have a baby, because I have felt incompetent and I feel like I'm coming up short every single day. I'm only now just getting my confidence with everything. So yeah, it definitely like takes a while, I would say, but it does kick in.
It's a whole new shift, isn't it? I mean, just leaving the house becomes a whole new routine.
Everything's overwhelming.
It takes a while to get that routine right as well.
First time we took him to the park, which was a 5-minute drive. We could have walked it, but I had a C-section recovery. It took 55 minutes to get the car packed up. I was like, what? The overwhelm at the beginning, again, I don't feel like enough people talk about it, was so much. My best friend Lottie came over, I bought a roast dinner and I cried into my roast dinner for like 3 hours. She was like, what's wrong? And I said, I'm just overwhelmed.
Aww.
And it is hard, but it does get easier and you are going to have bad days. And then like the other day, we had a really hard day with George. Really hard, and I was like counting down the hours till bedtime, and I felt guilty for that. And then he started having a giggle fit for the first time,
and then all of a sudden got fist
completely changes, doesn't it?
Pictures on your camera roll, didn't it?
I felt like that when the children had their first smile, because up until that point, the sleep is just unbearable. The sleep deprivation is unbearable, and you just think to yourself, like, is this ever going to change? And then they just pop the smile open, and you're just like, there he is.
I used to love it going to the baby when they'd just woken up from a nap and they used to have really like rosy, chubby cheeks. Yeah. And I was like, all is forgiven. Love you so much.
Every morning, he'll wake up about 5-ish and I sort of look at the phone, see what time it is, and I go, and then I go over to his next to me and then he's looking at me with this big gummy smile and I'm like, oh, all is forgiven. I love you so much.
So we've talked about how a lot of things in life shifts, and we've talked briefly about sort of the dynamics between you and your partner, your husband, Matt. Because previously you were a couple, and now it's a bit more like, in these early days, for sure, team survival.
Yeah.
How would you say Matt's found everything, and has it made your relationship stronger? In parts?
Possibly. I think it's obviously bonded us because the love for him, like, we feel is amazing. But no, I'm not going to lie, it really tested us in the beginning, especially. And I had moments where I was like, I want to punch you in the face.
when you see me laughing here, sat here opposite laughing when you're saying those stories about that I'm being unsympathetic. It's just because I'm thinking, oh my God, I remember that. I remember that moment at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was really hard. And I think I wish I could go back and then sort of tell Laura 3 months ago, do you know what? It will get better. You'll be fine. There were definitely moments where I was thinking, like, oh my God, I hate you. I am so overwhelmed and this is not fun. What have I done? And then now, like, I love him to bits. He is an amazing dad. The bond they have is beautiful. Everyone says he looks like him. So I'm like, fine. I don't think it's brought us closer. Just, I think, like you say, like, we probably have bonded over him, but it's still hard. We still have our moments. Like, I still think, like, oh, the mental load, like I said, I think probably still I'm struggling with. But we're good. I love him to bits. He is a brilliant dad.
That is one of my biggest pieces of advice for a new parent. The fact that you are both on the same side.
Yes.
You're on the same side.
Team and survival.
As annoying as each other might be, or as frustrating as the baby might be, or getting to grips with the sleep pattern or whatever it is, you're on the same side in wanting them to be content and to be happy and, of course, to thrive.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. I was thinking as you were talking then about sleep routines and sort of wrestling with each other a little bit and mood swings and stuff, that during those early days or those early months with a newborn baby, things change very quickly. So you can feel like you're in one moment or phase and think, oh my God, what have I done? How am I going to get through this? I can't do this. But actually, 3 days later, it's something completely different. And a week later, it's something different.
No, you're right. It's really sound advice. And I think I had to keep telling myself, like, this is temporary. This is temporary. Mm. And I think, like we were just saying earlier, it's hard in the early days because of the sleep deprivation, it kind of robs you a little bit of the joys of the parenthood in the early days. And it's really, really hard. But like you say, it does pass. And then I find myself now going, I just want to freeze time because I love this age. Smiling is sleeping a bit better. And I just,
We say as well, Net Mums, things don't have to be perfect for you to be proud.
Yeah.
And actually, another piece of advice, I sound like the advice queen here, but in those early weeks as well, where things move and change so quickly, don't spend too much energy trying to perfect something, like getting something right, or pressure on yourself to perfect it, because in a 3 days' time, it'll be a whole new challenge that you're going to have to run through. So I wouldn't put... That would be my advice in those early days, if you're ever struggling, is not necessarily putting too much pressure on yourself to perfect that moment or perfect that routine, because there'll be a whole new routine next week.
Definitely. Yeah.
Do you ever feel under pressure to be perfect? Because so much of what you do, of course, is online. And I know you're very, very outspoken. And you know, of course, a TV personality as well, of your Great British Bake Off stuff and other bits and pieces that you do as part of your work. Do you ever feel pressure to be perfect or to compete, I suppose, with everything else that's online?
I do a bit when it comes to being a mum, because it's not impacting me, it's impacting him. So if I do something wrong, I feel like I didn't realise the mum guilt. People always talked about it. It is
a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's really hard. But actually, I found that being honest has helped me. I think maybe being outspoken as well, but sharing the realities and the hard things, as well as the good, helps. And also, I then get so many messages from women saying, thank you so much, because all I'm seeing on my social media feed is like, look at me in my perfect bump. Look at me in my perfect baby. Look at me in my perfect house. Look at me. And I personally find that a little bit boring as well. But it can really get to you. I'm kind of leaning into the, I haven't quite got this.
The real.
That's okay.
Yeah. Give me feel for a different fire, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And if you were, because you're in those early months still at the moment, if you were to tap your Laura, the new mum-to-be, on the shoulder, what would you whisper in her ear?
I think I would try and say to her, you will sleep again. That's and foremost.
You will.
But also just to try, as hard as it is, enjoy it and try to worry a bit less. Because I think it can rob you a little bit of the early days, and actually, like, they will be fine and you will be fine as well. Like, you were sort of saying, this too shall pass, all will be well.
Yeah. Because those moments do move quite quickly. So if you beat yourself up too much in that moment, and then that moment's gone. It is hard, though. It's easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah.
No, well, it's been fantastic, isn't it?
It has. You've been a great chat. Thank you.
Loving me.
It's been really, really useful to hear some of your stories, and I'm sure some of the audience as well. It will resonate with brilliantly. But thank you, Laura. Thanks for such a great.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura.
With the honest.
Yes.
The real stuff.
And thank you as well very much for listening and coming along to support today. This is the NetMoms podcast, where real parenting conversations happen. You've just heard one here. And we'll be sticking around a little bit, won't we?
Yep. And also give us a listen. A new episode drops every Tuesday, and you can find us on the NetMoms socials and on the NetMoms site. So, yes, come and join us.